Hey, everybody.
Hey, group.
Yeah, what's up, man? Welcome to Little Monsters Movie Podcast. Dino.
Ted, number one horror movie podcast on the net.
And the whole wide world.
Tell your friends.
We've gone global.
Never mind, your friends already know.
We invested in a corporation that sent a satellite up to, it's through the Chinese, so we're everywhere, millions and millions of people watching.
They sent us a whole box of little umbrellas, no drinks, but just the little umbrellas that you can put in your drinks. And so I'm going to get one for my water.
Little wooden toothpicks and little paper.
Yeah, I don't have to buy toothpicks anymore. I just ripped the umbrellas off, and I've got lots of toothpicks now.
That's perfect, man.
I know. I love those folks. You know, they come up to your knees, but I love them.
I don't know what a box is.
What movie are we doing this week?
Young Frankenstein.
Oh, no.
Gene Wilder.
It's Mel Brooks. Horror movie.
1974. It's a Frankenstein. It's a comedy horror.
It's true.
So I picked this one because...
He loves Mel Brooks.
You
love Mel Brooks.
I do love Mel Brooks, but I love Gene Wilder a heck of a lot more. And I think we talked before. I mean, I got a couple comfort actors that just, you know, I just pop it in just to feel good.
I mean,
Gene Wilder's one of them, and Woody Allen. I mean,
yeah, I could go with Woody Allen.
Yeah, and Gene Wilder for me. I mean, you know, you go to Woman in Red and all that other stuff. Yeah, he's awesome, man. So anything with Gene Wilder, and like I said, I love this movie. I love Mel Brooks' humor. There's a lot of people that would look at it and go, that's not even funny, which evidently Ted just didn't.
This is going to be interesting because he loves it, and while I don't hate it, I don't see why a lot of people think this is funny. There's things I like about it because it's Frankenstein,
right?
And there's things I appreciate about it because they did put some time and effort and care,
right?
And there's some. We'll talk about it as the movie goes on, I guess.
Yeah, I mean the whole feel of the movie is black and white. It's 1974,
right? which was a hard sell in the 70s because was gritty color.
But Mel Brooks wanted to.
You're hard pressed to think of any other black and white movies in the set. I mean, there were some, but I mean, you know, this was a hard sell in the mid 70s.
And it kept that retro 1930s feel to the movie.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, Gene Wilder looked. I mean, it just looks like straight from 19.
Well, the sets are fantastic. The way the movie opens is just like how the old Universal horror movies would have opened. The castle up on the hill.
Yes.
The music is really reminiscent of the 1930s. And before we started the podcast, I said I really liked the music.
Yeah.
I thought the music for this film was excellent. And I mean, I think just about everybody knows, because I think it even states in the credits, but the lab equipment is the same stuff that they used in the original 1931 Frankenstein movie.
Right.
So it's the same lab equipment. So, I mean, people cared. And they cared, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily think it was funny, but there's lots of peripheral things in the movie that I thought were really well done. And I'll talk about those as we go.
Oh, my
but
God.
But I know you're the big fan, and I know you know the one-liners.
There's so many in this movie.
I had watched this movie with him once before, maybe 15 years ago or something, whatever.
Yeah, a long time ago.
One of your old houses, I remember we watched it in. And I never really stuck with me. So I hadn't really seen it since then. So I was eager to give it another chance and find out what I was missing, because I know it's on America Film Institute's, like 100 comedies. There's some of the one-liners on their one-liners list. National Film Registry, which, you know, the same list that has Freaks on it, this movie's on it too.
Yep.
Culturally, historical, and important.
Because of everything you've stated, okay?
Well, just put the original Frankenstein on there then. Well, maybe it is, I don't know.
Well, it's the adaptation they did, you know, I mean, it's, come on.
I guess what it comes
down
to...
And just the humor, I mean...
Mel Brooks' humor, typically, not always, but typically is farce. I guess you could say spoofs.
Right.
So, I mean, and we know a lot of his movies. He's spoofed Robin Hood movies. He's spoofed Alfred Hitchcock with High Anxiety, Dracula, Dead and Loving It, Frankenstein, of course, Westerns.
Yes.
I don't even like Spaceballs. I don't, because it made fun of all the movies I really like.
But that's
and
what's
I can
funny
laugh
about
at that,
it.
But it didn't make fun of it in a funny way, in my opinion. I guess it's a simple humor. And just so you guys don't hate me too much, my idea of funny, all right? And you probably love all the things I love. I love old silent comedians. I love Buster Keaton.
Right.
Charlie Chaplin especially was a genius. I love Laurel Hardy.
I agree with you.
Three Stooges. As far as comedy movies, I really love to laugh, but not a lot of comedy movies get me to bust out laugh. One that will always do it is W.C. Fields's It's a Gift.
Right.
It's a mad, 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 mad world, which is like a almost a three-hour epic comedy. It's the only epic comedy I think there is. There's so many great things in that movie.
Yeah.
And I like The Big Lebowski. Well, that always cracks me up. I'm one of those guys. As far as, I used to love Monty Python. I still do, but I've watched them so many times that I can just kind of recite it to myself, so I don't bother watching them anymore. Those are kind of the movies that I've seen enough.
Yeah.
Maybe kind of like even like Ghostbusters and Back to the Future. People who love those movies, but it's like if I never see them again, I'm okay. I've seen them so many times.
Yeah, there's plenty. There's plenty of movies like that. This is my comfort film,
right.
You know. And like you said, simple humor, but. Simple humor can be played off as really funny if you got the right actor. And Gene Wilder
is good. The only other...
The way he speaks, everything. Mm-hmm. I know I'm interrupting you,
but... No, that's fine. You are right. I guess that's just my point. I love to laugh, but... I mean, modern comedies, forget it. I mean, everyone loves Anchorman. I tried watching Anchorman four times to find out what was funny about it, and I didn't laugh once.
Okay, wait a second. There's something wrong that you actually sat there and watched it.
Because everyone kept saying, you got to give it a chance. Because I didn't watch
the second or third
I've never watched the whole thing.
Okay.
So I always watched it a little bit further. Like, I gave it like 20 minutes. And okay. And I realized 20 minutes isn't enough, you know. You got to give a movie like a 30, 40 minutes. And I gave it 30, 40
minutes. That's another one. I love Anchorman. I mean, I love Will Ferrell. I love his humor, too, so...
Sometimes he can be funny, but then I thought Step Brothers was not funny enough for me to go buy the Blu-ray, but...
No.
Funny that, you know, it's like, that could be
Those are movies that are funny to watch once. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm not going to be popping in Anchorman or even Step Brothers all the time, but... The ball scene, you testicle know, scene in there was absolutely.
I like Abbott and Costello. You got me into Woody Allen, and I think the one film he did, I don't think it was even a theater movie, it was a TV movie, but his remake, his Don't Drink the Water, with him and Blossom and Michael J. Fox and Dom DeLuise, which I know is a Mel Brooks mainstay there. That was one of the funny. It starts off kind of slow, but once it gets going, it is. Gut-busting Manhattan murder mystery. If you've never seen Woody Allen movies, it's one that I think we want to do here eventually.
I love that.
It's not a horror movie, but it's kind of like a thriller Woody Allen style.
Like somebody dies and stuff. And,
right, it's a mystery. So, murder mystery in Manhattan.
God, I'm scared. Yeah.
But, I love to laugh, but it's like not much makes me laugh.
It's all right. To each their own. Everybody's different,
So. Chaplin was a genius. Keaton, just for his physical comedy... Stooges, in moderation. I can't sit there and watch them all day. But, one or two a day I can do. And that's just what I grew up watching. Laurel and Hardy especially, I think, don't get the love that they deserve. Very subtle, intelligent humor, little things in there that just the looks they would give each other. I've never seen people that had such synchronicity.
Chemistry.
And chemistry, maybe besides Abbott and Costello.
Right.
I'm old school when it comes to my comedy. I like that stuff.
That's what I see in this, though, in Gene Wilder and Mel Brooks, the typical, very subtle humor. But if it doesn't touch you, then it doesn't.
Some things I chuckled. I definitely chuckled in the movie, but, you know, there's running gags, and it's like, okay, after 18 times, it's not so funny hearing the horse neigh. Igor? What's his name? He's the weirdest looking guy I ever saw in my
Marty life. Feldman.
So I liked him. I would say he's probably my favorite in the movie.
You don't like the horses keep saying after the name, but yet you love Family Guy, right? And you love when Peter falls down and goes, ow!
You know what, though?
Ow! And about 5 minutes he goes on, and it's just killing you, right?
No, you know what? I get a little annoyed with that, actually.
Do you?
I get a little annoyed that it goes on for so long. I realize why they do it. And I'll just say
that will make me laugh so hard I can't stop.
I still watch Family Guy, Simpsons, South Park. I still watch all three of those shows. I've watched them since they first started.
Yeah.
I've never missed an episode. And I will admit that I probably don't laugh at any of those. Like, I'll watch it just because, like, on Sundays at 8 o'clock, you know, if there's not a great football game on, I'm watching Simpsons and Family Guy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one cartoon that I still... The only one of those kinds of shows that I still like, and mostly what I watch is cartoons because I have kids. Futurama. Futurama is really also, I could say, as far as comedy, my kind of humor. Mm-hmm. The level of intelligence and wit in that show, and I'm not surprised it gets taken off the air 18 times, because I think people just are too stupid to get it. Not you, not present company excluded. But a lot of yous out there that didn't watch it when it was on. It's so brilliant. And
well, even Family Guy getting taken off the air and then re-brought back again. You know, I mean, but I hear you. You know what? That's what I'm getting at.
I rarely laugh. Once in a while, I'll get a little chuckle out of, you know, something Homer does or something Peter does or whatever. You know, because sometimes Family Guy can just take you off on a tangent for 10 minutes, and right. It's like, okay, you know, and it's okay. I watch it. I appreciate it, but I don't laugh anywhere near as much as I used to with those programs, especially South Park. I mean, I still watch it because I like the characters, but I really don't laugh very much at it anymore. Right. Once in a while.
Nah, I hear you.
But I just watch it out of loyalty, because I've always watched it. And
same here.
I just feel like if I miss an episode, I'll miss like that one great one that I should have watched. Yeah. But Futurama, from beginning to very end, I've gut-busted laughed the whole way, and I appreciate those guys. Matt Groening, that is the show. That's his show.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a shame that so many of you didn't get it or didn't appreciate it or didn't watch it. Maybe liked it but just didn't watch it. They did shuffle the times around.
Yeah.
But I own it all on home video, and it always has to be with me. And I love it. So those are my ideas of humor. Now we'll get into Young Frankenstein and find out what Dino's idea of humor is.
Well, that's all my humor.
I know,
too.
See, I know.
You know, Lauren Hardy's, they're up there as one of my favorites.
I remember I bought that, and I still have it.
I got a box set from England. That's the only place you're going to get every single.
Right. We have one here in the States, but it doesn't have the silent ones in it.
Right.
And this had their silent features in it, and some of those are the best ones. Oh, and they had it in England. I had to buy a special DVD player to play it.
Yeah. I remember we were going back and forth trying to figure out how to play the PAL. And, and we got it to work.
And that was ages ago.
Now it's cheap.
That's
pop either,
like the crown jewel. You know? Oh, I still love it, because we still don't have that here. And the picture quality is not super great or anything, but I got them. Yeah. And that's it.
Heck yeah, man. I love all that stuff, man. But that's what happens when we start out with a movie that he's 10 minutes in and we haven't even started.
Right. See, you notice this? When I don't dig a movie so much, I talk about a bunch of other stuff. Planet of Vampires.
No. I know you said 60 minutes. We did an hour and a 20, so.
Yeah.
No, hey, anyways. Yeah, so.
So you're right. Young Frankenstein, 1974. This was a movie that was pretty much Gene Wilder's
brainchild. Him and Albert, he co-wrote it with.
Well, he had the idea. I kind of did a little reading on it. This is all like Wikipedia stuff. It's all out there. It was his kind of story, and he shopped it around. A lot of people just didn't want to do it. I think even Mel Brooks passed on it once. He kind of fleshed out a scene with a couple of actors that he hooked up with who are in the movie, and they kind of, you know, did a little scene for him, and he kind of liked that idea. Once he told him that, you know, it's not so much I think Mel Brooks has said something like, you know, we've got Frankenstein, Son of Frankenstein, there's five Frankenstein movies, and they make reference to that in the film.
Yeah.
You know, there was five of the old Frankenstein movies back then. And he's like, but this one's different in that, you know, it's one of his descendants, and he doesn't want anything to do with this wacky family that he comes from. That could be funny. So they decided to go ahead and make it. This was, Mel Brooks is always, like, in his movies.
Right.
I think he has, like, a brief cameo here, maybe in one of the crowd scenes, but he's not
I think it might be his hands at the very beginning of the movie, too, taking the Baron von Frankenstein's book out of his coffin.
And another thing that Mel Brooks likes to do is what they call break the fourth wall, where he kind of, you know, wink, wink, talk to the audience a little bit to let them know that it's just a movie. Some people don't dig that. You know, I'm not one of those that really dig that. I like to watch the movie.
No, I like that. I like that.
I hated it in the one James Bond movie, On Her Majesty's Secret Service, which I love that movie. Mm-hmm. But that one part just annoys me when he says...
Well, in a movie like that,
this never happened to the other guy, you know, referring to Sean Connery. And, I didn't care. I wish they would just have taken that part out. But otherwise, it's an epic Bond movie. But that's his little shtick that he likes to do. So
I think this movie separates itself from the Frankenstein. First of all, it's a comedy, of course. You know?
And it was a very popular comedy. It made a lot of money.
Oh, heck yeah.
It was nominated for a couple of Academy Awards. Yeah. Didn't win. but hey, you know, how often do comedies get nominated for things? Especially a Mel Brooks comedy.
Right.
So, none of the big ones, but little technical awards.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know, people love it.
Yep, it's a great movie.
So, yeah, it just kind of starts off at the castle up on the hill.
Yeah.
And it kind of pans, you know, you get a good view of the castle, and then we see inside the castle, there's a casket. It's Baron
Von Frankenstein.
And it's a really cool effect when they open up the coffin. It's an decayed corpse, and he's holding, it's a case with his book in it, right? His journal.
Right, yeah.
And you see some hands trying to pull it away, and the skeleton hands are pulling it back.
Goes back, pulls it back.
Rips it out of the hands.
Yeah, that's kind of a funny thing, but that's typical Mel Brooks. Something stupid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what makes it funny. Yeah. So, we find out that it's whoever it is gets it, the caretaker or something.
Caretaker of the estate, or the family lawyer, or something like that.
It's actually his will, not a
book. Oh, yeah, it's his will. Why would he be buried with his will?
Exactly. You think they would have read it before he passed away?
But, I don't know. Plot holes starting already.
Anyways, they shoot to Frederick von Frankenstein.
Right. He has purposely changed his name.
Yeah. He don't want
pronounces his name different.
I should say. Which is so funny because Marty Feldman tells him later on in the Igor, you know, who should be Igor, but it's
he
Igor.
Does that on purpose.
But he goes, shouldn't it be Frederick? Frankenstein, and he goes, what does he say? He goes, Frodrick.
Frodrick.
He goes, it should be Frodrick, right?
Frodrick.
He goes, no.
Oh, you're Theodore. No, it's Igor.
It's Frederick, but yeah.
But he's a medical professor at a medical college, and he's teaching about the brain. You know, he's following in the family footsteps as far as being, you know, a doctor, a physician.
But basically referring that they're all kooks, you know.
Right, and that's because there's that one student that keeps trying to get his goat.
Right, he keeps asking the questions, you know.
But wasn't it true that he
didn't he reanimate the corpse of the... Yeah, no.
All he needs to do is like a Herbert West snap the pencil.
Yeah. Herbert reanimator.
Right. He even says something like, you know, his theories were doo-doo.
Yeah, well, that's Gene Wilder. Yeah, he talked the way he talks and everything is just so stupid and funny. I mean, doo-doo. It's doo-doo, you know. And I like how his hair's all over. He looks like he's straight out of the 30s.
Well,
man.
Just a couple years after Willy Wonka, which,
yeah,
you know, really, I mean, this was the movie that gave Gene Wilder a hit. I mean, I think Blazing Saddles, maybe. Did that come before this or after this?
After this. This is 1974.
Right. When was Blazing Saddles? I just can't remember.
76?
And that's another one, you know, I've watched it. I know my father-in-law wanted to watch it with me because he said he loved it. I watched it and chuckled a bit. And
you just got to like the humor. That's all. It's a segment of...
I mean, it's not like... I don't realize it's funny. I see that it's supposed to be funny. It's just, it's not...
Okay, well, Gene Wilder's at the
So this was kind of his hit because he had a couple of, like, failures. You know, Willy Wonka wasn't a big hit when it came out. It's a huge family movie now, but it wasn't a hit when it came out at all.
Craziness,
and,
man.
I know, and see, that's a movie I love, maybe because Mel Brooks didn't have his hands on it. And, so he still kind of, has that crazy hair look that you're talking about.
Oh, well, Gene Wilder's always got that hair, but just the way it's back with the mustache and all that.
The thing is, I like the guy. And I really like Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder's awesome,
like,
man.
Like Stir Crazy with Richard Pryor.
Heck yeah.
I mean those are good movies.
Now, what did you think of that? That comedy was just awesome.
Well, it wasn't Mel Brooks. So, yeah, it was funny. Well, you know what,
whatever.
In a movie like that, it's really Richard Pryor that's funny. All right,
well,
Richard
Pryor. They both play off themselves. Oh, are you kidding me? Gene Wilder hanging up there in the sail.
He can't hold a candle to Richard Pryor.
Drops down.
He can't. I mean, you got one guy and Richard Pryor, you're watching Richard Pryor.
Gene Wilder. I do like in the movie where he's telling the students all, you know, everything about the brain and all that. And,
right.
He turns around to, like, wash his hands.
And he just, like, dips them in the water.
He dips just, like, the fingertips in the water. And just like...
You know, I think it's because of the chalk. Because I used to teach before I worked
but
in the medical
But it was just
field.
So dainty, and
well,
I'm just like...
the chalk on your fingertips.
But that was just so funny.
And that would drive me crazy. When I would go home from a day of teaching, I'd just chalk all over me. Because I was a chalk guy, always writing on the board.
Yeah.
Chalk. And I didn't have one of them good... things to put your chalk in to hold it.
Oh, jeez.
Chalk all over me. So maybe that's kind of what I took it as. Then he does it a couple times where he's not using chalk, I think.
Right. But anyways, then they end up bringing the... Well, the caretaker comes in the background.
Volunteer.
He's bringing the will. Right. But then they bring in the volunteer. Right.
The guys with the will sitting in the back watching the class. And
he's like laying on a table. He's like a guinea pig.
You know one part I did kind of laugh at? When he climbs off the table.
Well, you know who that is? You know who that is, too? He was in a Sanford and Son episode. He was the bum who laid in the bathtub, if you're a fan of Sanford and Son.
I am.
And the newspaper covered him up. Mm-hmm. And Fred Sanford could not get him out of the yard. Because, you know, mm-hmm. he gets sued because of business.
Right.
So he stayed there and he gave him beer after beer after beer. And there Fred Sanford's going, he's tricking him, you know, him and Lamont, you know. Wait until he has to go up the stairs to go pee, you know, and he comes back.
I kind of remember that. I just don't remember it being him, so.
That's him, yeah, that's
and, you
him.
You know, Richard Pryor was one of the writers on Sanford and Son.
There you go.
There you go. It all comes full circle on Little Monsters Movie Podcast.
But I did kind of laugh out loud
when he got off the table, because it's just a gurney, a little stretcher, and he climbs down like he's up really high. It was kind of funny. Because he tells him to hop off the cart, and he's like,
he goes, nice hop. Yeah, it is.
And he's trying to explain the difference between the autonomic and the central nervous system, and, you know, how, you know, if you go to bring your... leg up to somebody, you know, he's talking, and then what does he say? Something, you dirty son of a...
Well, he clamps the back. He does it at first,
and then he flinches. The guy flinches, and
yeah.
that's the reflexes.
Yeah, if you're going to kick somebody in the nads, you know.
Right.
And
then he does what I think you were about to say.
Yeah, he puts the probe, you know, the clamps, whatever, behind the
clamps
neck.
Clamps a couple
whatever,
of nerves the,
yeah,
on the back of the neck.
Basically saying that, you know, the nervous system, that's clamped.
I don't think it's that easy, though.
No, I don't think so. but then he
I've
goes,
never seen that.
No. But then he goes back up to him, and he stands by him, and he goes, you dirty, rotten son of a...
And you know
he
needs
him. And then he does it again. Mm-hmm. And he said, but the way he says it, Ted, is so funny. You dirty, rotten son of a...
I think this is probably the last part of the movie where I laughed out loud, is when they're wheeling him away. And he's holding his nuts.
And Gene Wilder goes, give him an extra dollar.
Yeah, give him an extra buck.
An extra buck.
And, that... Okay, now if the whole movie had been like that, you know, like, you know, just kicks to the groin. Because I like that as much as anybody.
Oh, So then student's irritating him a little bit
more.
Yeah,
always wanting to probe him about, you know, his family and Dr. Frankenstein and bringing back the dead.
And he does keep saying it's Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah.
And they do finally get it. But he's sitting down in the chair, and that's when he gets mad at that student, finally.
Right, he picks up the scalpel and says, you have a better chance of giving life to this scalpel than dead tissue. And, you know, he takes it, slams it down to the scalpel, goes right in his leg.
And he goes, which is so funny, he goes, after his time, he goes, class, dismissed. And just the way Gene Wilder says it, it's just awesome.
And that's been another... What other movie did someone do something like that? I can't remember, but...
You could tell he's in pain. He's
just, you know, stab himself with something.
It's hilarious. But then the lawyer guy
lets him know that he's inherited the estate.
Yeah.
And,
and he's
you know,
got
gives
the
him
will. Gives
the
him
will.
The will and stuff. And
so, I mean, it's a big hunk of property, so he's going to go up there. It's a family estate, so he's going to go say... goodbye to his fiancée, who's Madeline Kahn,
who's in
all these movies.
Mel Brooks movies, but mm-hmm. she's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it is a little funny.
I think Madeline Kahn's funny as heck.
You know, when they go to kiss her, no, the lipstick. And
yeah, he goes...
No tongue.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah, throughout the whole movie, you can't touch her.
Right.
Because, you know, they're...
The dress, the boa, the hair.
Yeah, please don't mess up my lipstick. And he goes, oh, you know, it's so annoying, actually. But,
right.
You know, I'd be like... Yeah, I'm kidding.
But he's all cool with it. Yeah, okay.
You know. But
get on the train, man.
All aboard.
Right. Yeah, they got
you know.
All aboard.
So, she's like, oh, miss you. Oh, yeah. Goodbye, sweetie.
Yeah, don't touch. Yeah, told her hand. The nails.
The nails, yeah.
Feel like.
But yeah, I love the scene.
So he gets on the train and they're going from. Where do they start off at?
Well, the guy says, New York, get here.
Right, and then
York,
next they're like in Bucharest.
Transylvania.
Took a train all the way. It
he
is
goes,
a different train.
He goes, Transylvania's. And, you know, so. And then the train stops, which cracks me up with the boy out there.
Mm-hmm.
He, Gene Wilder hollers out to him. He goes, "Is this the Transylvania station?" He goes, "Yeah, yeah, this and Transylvania." Then, and then he goes,
"Oh, hey, do you want a shoe shine?
Oh, hey, by the way, do you want a shoe shine?" And he says that all in American, you know, like, yeah. Just funny, Ted. Yeah. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, this little.
Boy, I mean, it's out not there, gut busting funny.
No.
But and also another thing I like about the film is they use the old style scene transitions,
right? Like the old scope coming out.
Yeah, the scope coming out, or the wipes, which like they had in Star Wars too. They kind of use those again in Star Wars, but yeah. Not a lot back in the old days. A lot of movies did that, but then it kind of fell out of popularity, and you know, because it is an effect, and it, you know, and it does create some. Right. You know, optical issues, I think. Yeah. But I think it looked cool. I mean, yeah. You know, I like how they did that. They tried to stay true to those old movies.
Right, and they did that very, very well.
Right, and I don't have a problem with, like, any of the sets or anything like that. I think it all looks fantastic. Fantastic, you know. Yeah. Doesn't look cheesy. The acting is, but the sets are great. But so, yeah, hey, we meet Igor, and that's the part we were kind of...
Well, he's off on the train station. He hears a leg dragon.
Right, the hunchback.
Yeah, you know.
What hunch? Or what humper?
But anyways, he, that's when they both introduce himself. You know, it's Igor, Frodrick. Right. Shouldn't it be Frederick, you know? But anyways...
What's the walk this way part? This is silly.
Hilarious. He's got a little cane. Martin, you know, Igor goes, "Walk this way." And he's got the little cane. He's going down little steps. And Gene Wilder takes it, and he walks this way. But he does give a glance after, like, "This is so stupid." He looks at the camera like, "Did I really just do that?" That's what's funny about it. But whatever. I'm not going to convince Ted. You do whatever you want. You know, trash it, whatever.
I think I'm saying a lot of nice things about
these are actually things that were cracking me up. But anyways.
Well, yeah, in the 70s, you know, people didn't know any better.
That's true, yeah.
But then we're going to meet Terry Garr.
Oh, my God.
Ever since I've ever seen her, I've thought she was beautiful. Ooh. This movie, any movie she's been in.
I remember her from the,
you know,
the underwear commercial.
Was she in her underwear?
Oh, yeah.
Man, I got
to back in the back in this day. But anyways, yeah, she's Inga.
Yes. Very attractively. I don't know why. Like 70s, 80s, she was in tons of movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, and lovely.
They're getting ready to get in a big wagon, and
yeah, the big
he throws
wagon.
The thing, and he goes, "What's that?" And he goes, "That's Inga, your assistant."
Right.
And he looks up there, and he looks at her, and she goes, "You want that all in the hay?
Roll.
It's just so silly stuff, I know.
but he takes him up to the castle, and... Yeah.
And they hear lightning, you know. Yeah. He goes, "Don't be scared. It's only an electrical discharge." And then you hear the wolves going, "Woo!" And, you know, that's where he goes. She goes, "Werewolf." And he goes, "Werewolf." And he goes, "Therewolf." Yeah, just stupid. So, I know. I'm quoting this stuff, and you're just
but
like,
I mean,
whatever.
That's okay, because that you know, there's other people that have done that humor, too. That's not, you know.
But the main thing is just watching Terry Garr in that wagon.
Right, right. I mean, I was pretty much occupied the rest of the movie.
Yeah, so that can keep you going through the
movie. That kept me going. Thank you, Terry. You kept me going through that movie. And then, yeah, they get those shots of the castle again. They get up there, and it's... who's this lady at the door? Cloris Leachman. And who she's like the housekeeper or something? The mansion castle keeper?
She's kept the estate forever.
Okay. Big old mole on her face, and then we're going
to find that Brucker.
Frau Brucker. And
every time they say the name, the horses neigh. They go,
don't know why.
Frau Brucker.
Why? But why?
Because Mel Brooks likes to just do stupid stuff that makes no sense.
Stop there.
I'm sorry, Ted.
Wow. I think I just cut myself.
Remember when I said if I made a movie, I would put all kinds of stupid stuff, like a short little sketch, like you were riding down the street, you know the little signs on the side of the road? It says Dip In Road, you know? And as we're driving around by, okay, we'd see some weird looking guy, just a little dip, just standing up, just going, you know, I mean, that kind of humor. I think that's funny as hell.
That would be funny. Well, if we did it,
I'm not sure why I called Jaden, that's my son, but anyways.
No problem.
But anyway,
we look alike.
But anyways, when they did arrive there...
He thinks I'm his cousin. Probably because I'm over here all the time.
There you go. But I do like when they first actually pull up there and they boom, boom, you know, because they're huge knockers. And he's reaching Terry Garr off of the nice wagon. Nice knockers. And she goes, thank you.
Right. I like that part. You know, I probably would have said the same thing.
Oh, funny as heck. But, yeah, so she introduces him in and she...
The interior of the castle is excellent.
It is.
Compare it to the old Universals, the Hammer movies. It's just, it's awesome.
And what's funny...
Spare no expense.
Exactly. And I love how she takes them up to their rooms, mm-hmm. and she grabs a big candelabra that isn't even lit.
Yeah, I was going to say, is the thing even lit? It's not even lit.
No, she's walking. And as she's walking up the staircase, she turns around and stops, and she goes, be very careful. The stairs can be
treacherous.
Treacherous. And they just look at her like, what? What are you talking about? I mean, just...
Might have been funnier then if, like, she fell.
Oh, my God. You know? And then she's basically in
this room. Take them to their rooms. You know, they all got their own chambers and...
And you can tell she's kind of in love with the original Baron.
Right, because when Gene Wilder's unpacking, she's asking him if he wants brandy before bed, mm-hmm. If he wants warm milk.
Yeah, she goes, you want some brandy?
Ovaltine?
Some warm milk, perhaps?
And then she goes, nothing!
Ovaltine? I love how she says that. That's just so funny.
He mentions about his grandfather, his books, and he's like, where's his private library? These are, books any doctor would have.
Right.
So that's going to set up something later on.
Yeah.
So she kind of leaves, but as he's unpacking, he's got a little, shaving mirror or something there, and he sees her kissing his grandfather's portrait in the mirror.
Yeah.
So you realize that they've had a relationship.
Right.
And then later in the evening...
He's having a nightmare.
Yeah, he's having... I forget what it's about, I'm not a Frankenstein, I'm a Frankenstein or something like that.
Yeah, and, I forget what he's saying too. Just like I don't believe or something. I don't know, something like that.
And Inga comes in because she hears him, calling out in the night.
And they hear music, a violin playing in the background.
Right, and it sounds like it's coming from behind the bookcase wall.
Yeah. So they jump up and
they think there's maybe a passage back there, which all these old castles have one. Right.
Right.
My house has one.
I got one too.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I built it though. I built my passage, and it's just I didn't even tell my family, but I did it on a weekend when they were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And when my wife's gonna ask me to do something, I just slip out, and she has to do it herself.
He's got his little Nintendo DS down there, and
candle, Gatorade, some
Snickers bars,
right? Some potted meat and Ritz crackers, and
so a big jar of that marshmallow fluff.
For the potted meat. And that's where I go. That's my spot.
So they he figures out the candle.
Right.
So
when they pull the candle out of the
and it
holder.
flips them behind.
Right. And sometimes it's
rude. He goes, put the candle back.
Right.
And he goes, when you put the candle back, I'm going to wedge myself between the bookcase and the wall.
And now put the candle back in.
And she
puts and then it's cute when she gets stuck back there.
She says the same thing.
Put the candle back.
and he figures out, put up and back down.
Right. And it's a little passageway down in there.
And they see the light down there, and they figure out, and they end up seeing the old laboratory that is great-grandfather. Well, whoever.
Right. And then somehow isn't Igor skulking around back there?
Oh, yeah.
And,
they come... Well, this is what I don't understand, too, because it says 2 months dead. There's skulls on a shelf.
Oh, yeah,
it says two
yeah.
months dead.
That's right. This is it. Get
2 years dead. Cobwebs everywhere.
Yeah, one,
and then it says, still alive?
Or freshly dead or something like that.
Yeah, and it's him sitting there with his eyes. I mean, you got to remember, Marty Feldman's eyes are bulging and stuff,
Nice.
And which gets to the next scene when they get into the laboratory. And he goes, there's a switch right there to turn on light. He goes, I'm not going to touch it. So Gene Wilder goes up there and goes, shh, and it goes, and electrocutes. And he goes, damn your eyes. And he goes, too late.
Too late, right?
He's goofing on himself, But
I love in all these movies, they just light a candle and it just lights up the whole room.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I can't see 4 inches in front of my face with a candle.
Far broker. But, So they do see the light down there, and that's when he eventually goes down into the room past the laboratory.
Right.
And they find out that it's actually, they see a cigar lit there, nobody's there.
There's a violin down there.
That's his...
And the journals, the books, his private books that detail how he conducted his experiments, and, you know, with the creature that he created.
And the book on the table says, "How I Did It," by Frank Stein. So it's like very funny. I mean, that's hilarious. And so he's got the library, so he's going to get things rolling.
Right, he's going to start looking at that journal and realize that, you know, it just might work.
Yeah, he goes in these rampages with his eyes, like from the early movie era, like where they express themselves.
Yeah, the eyes in the silent are dark.
I love it. And he's just screaming it, you know. I mean,
right, and he's gonna continue his grandfather's work.
Yep.
And I think they even flashed to, like, the portrait where he was all dour. The grandfather before now, he's smiling. So, yeah, they're going to, you know, start on the experiments, right? Yeah. It'll be Inga and Igor, and they're going to, you know, they have to get a body.
Yep.
You know, that it all starts
next morning. I like how they're eating breakfast, and they're figuring out, Gene Wilder's like, we're going to need a very good specimen, which is kind of funny in itself how they're figuring all this out. Like, it's got to be large in stature. Don't ask me why. You could do a midget or a small guy. Or
the veins will be bigger, everything will be bigger. Easier, I guess.
And she goes, even his Schwanzfinger?
Schwanzensticker? I think it's the only time they actually say it in the movie, but there's little references to the Schwanzen.
Yeah.
You know, I used to work at a nursing home. A long time ago, I was a teenager, and there was a little old lady there, and she would say that sometimes. You know, she would say Schwanz.
It's hanging out. Your Schwanz is hanging out.
Oh, you're liking the Schwanz.
Oh my!
I remember there was another lady. Just not to go over a little tangent because it is kind of funny. These were all like Alzheimer's people, and I remember it was her birthday, and I think one of the nurses asked what she wanted for her birthday, and she's just sitting in her little chair with the tabletop so she doesn't fall. And she's like, I want something about that big and about that thick.
Oh my god!
I'm like, the women when they get older, they're the worst.
I came up there one time to visit because
I used to work there with his wife a long time ago. That's actually how we met.
Yeah. And woman scared the living daylights out of me. I don't know if you know who it was, but the one woman who would sit, she was, you know, the tray, like, held her into her chair. And she would have a rosary, I think, in her hand. But she would be, like, just sitting there ranting and, you know, like, in a foreign language, I think. Like, prayers and stuff like that. And I'm just like... It looked like something straight out of The Exorcist and freaked me out.
I could talk for hours on stories.
That was scary.
You know, you just, you know.
It's just the old lady who's demented, but you can't help to get sometimes that image out of your head.
Funny without even realizing it.
Oh, my God.
You know, you get to like those little characters.
I'm sure, But anyways,
I had a 100-year-old lady tell me I was lazy one time. She made her own bed. She's like, "You're a nice buddy, but you're lazy."
100-year-old women.
Yeah, you know, you don't got 15 people to take care of, lady. You can get yourself dressed. You can make your own bed. Igor's kind of drawing out what they need.
And that's what gets me. Is like, they think this is the perfect specimen, and it looks so deformed and disturbed. Igor sketches out what they're going to do, the body.
Right.
And it just looks like this.
Looks like Frankenstein.
Looks
like Frankenstein's monster.
And he goes, they're like perfect.
Yeah.
You know.
And then the next thing, there must have been an execution. There's some big giant guy hanging by the... And he's really just, like, swinging.
Yeah, I mean, thank God they found a 7-foot guy, you know.
Played by Peter Boyle, who's not that big.
He's got those six-inch boots on.
Kiss boots. And so then we get to, like, the graveyard scene. The graveyard guys are burying him. And, you know, Igor and Dr. Frankenstein are just standing right there by the gate. I mean, out in the open. And they dig in with shovels. They're going to start digging up because, as we know from Reanimator, you got to have a fresh corpse.
You do, yes.
Right, it's just not going to work.
So many.
And I love when they're digging. It's just, phew.
Oh yeah. Well, Marty Feld, Igor's just. You can just see it just flying about. He's like picking up like maybe a teaspoon.
Right.
At a time.
I mean, you kind of want to, you know, put the dirt back when you're done, so it doesn't look like you disturbed.
Well, when they buried the body, did you see when they did bury this body? I mean, it was this much off the ground, so it's you just spray the dirt aside, and it's right there. Right. But anyways, when they dig it up, they cut to a scene to where they're underneath it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they got underneath it because the hole was cut right directly.
They're pushing it up.
Yeah, they're pushing it up. There's no way they could slide in underneath it.
What did they say? Something?
This is terrible, Gene Wilder. Right,
or something like it couldn't be anywhere or something. And then it starts raining or something like that.
Yeah, and they just, stare.
Yeah. And then, cool, this is all like Hammer Gothic, 1930s Universal Gothic. Awesome. Where they're,
Transylvania roads, brick roads.
They've got the coffin on a cart, hand cart, and they're pushing it through the town in the middle of the night.
It starts going faster and faster and faster and faster.
And the freaking thing falls off.
It flies off and just shoots off.
Right, that is funny. The arm's sticking out of it. That part is kind of funny.
And the police officer comes by.
Right. Like the little, England Bobby walking the beat.
Yeah, and, says, what you doing? Who are
you?
Yeah,
they're just standing by. And this is kind of cool. This is clever. Gene Wilder's sitting there with the corpse's arm sticking out like it's his arm.
Like it's...
And you can tell they're blatantly different hands.
Right. But it keeps, he's going like this. But
the corpse hands like this, and he's just sitting there picking at it.
Pretending it's his.
Right, so... That part is kind of funny. That would be like what would probably really happen.
Right.
You and I are taking a corpse through the street and it falls off the car.
Iger must be underneath too because he'll kick twice to get him to bring the hand up in the air. It's like, it's funny, man. It's hilarious.
Yeah, but things like that are, that's... I mean, I think the story of Frankenstein could make a cool comedy movie.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't done as a farce. Do it as a, play it for serious, but... not with the, tongue-in-cheek and winking at the audience, but if you did, a real comedy of Frankenstein, I think that would be cool. I think that would really work.
So Frankenstein sends, the comedy.
Right. He sends Igor out to go get a brain, and he wants
First, something funny in the...
did I miss something?
In the laboratory when they do got the body there and stuff like that, and they're looking at it and all that, and... He does go tell him to go get the brain from the thing, but he pats his shoulder... And the hump's on the other side. Right, he goes, wasn't your on the... And he just shakes his head. Well, never mind. He sends him off for Hans Delbruck. He's a genius, brain, to the brain laboratory. Right.
And a lot of these parts come directly out of Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein from Universal. Mm. Sending the assistant to go get the brain. Mm-hmm. And in the original film...
Oh, yeah, they play
the, it. The original brain gets knocked over and destroyed, and he grabs the other one, which was a criminal brain.
Right.
And that's pretty much what happens here.
Yeah, it's abnormal.
Which, that's what he said.
Because he asks them later, what brain did you get, when they find out that this Frankenstein is not smart.
Right.
Gene Wilder, I keep calling him Froedrich.
Froedrich.
He's sitting down, and he goes, what was the name you asked him? And he goes... No, I didn't get Hans Delbruck. He goes, what was the name on it? He goes, Abby. He goes, Abby Normal.
Abby Normal.
It's like, come on. But I do like when he is getting the brain, he's those big balls.
Yeah,
guys.
He winks right at the audience,
points
like
to
that.
It, But lightning scares him, and he drops it, and he gets the abnormal.
Right,
brain,
and he sees himself in the mirror and just drops it.
Yeah. But,
That's a classic thing in, almost all the, Frankenstein movies, except, maybe the Hammer one. The Hammer one, he got the brain he wanted.
Right.
It just, different then style. It got damaged and it didn't work out and he had to take what he had to get.
Right.
That's what I like about the Hammer ones. He got the parts himself, He didn't send Igor. He didn't have, in the first one, he didn't have an Igor. He had a guy named Fritz, I think, in the second one.
Well, what's that Penny Dreadful? I don't know if you've been watching
I've heard of it. I've never watched it.
It's got all the classic monsters like Frankenstein and...
Oh, really?
All of the characters from those that time period. Van Helsing.
Is it a good program? Or?
It is a good program. Very dark and, really good.
That's a cable.
I got to catch up to it. Yeah, it is. It's, I think, Stars.
Stars?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'd recommend watching that, man. It's a good one. It's really
and
good.
The actual creatures are in it, or just the
well,
characters?
Well, Frankenstein looks like he's a Frankenstein. Yeah,
the monster, Frankenstein monster.
Yeah,
Okay.
They put him together, and he lived under this theater.
What's the premise of that show? I've heard of it. I just don't know.
Oh, boy, I'd have to.
It's got the Ava Green in it, right?
Do a little more research. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
I'll watch it.
Yeah. Well, her character, she's just possessed or some kind of demonic entity in her, and there's the vampire side of it. Mm-hmm. And I've got to catch up, so that's why I'm mumbling my words here.
Usually up on every show there is.
Well, I got to catch up on that one, but it's a very good Very good show.
Like I finally just caught up on Game of Thrones.
Well, now you can catch up on, do this one. Check this one out. All You'd like it.
All right,
but
cool.
But we get back to where he's basically
going to
animate Frankenstein.
Sew the brain up, and
He's telling Igor to flick the switches, right.
And
I do
love
in
all
there.
The equipment in there.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Not just because it was from the original Frankenstein. I mean, even if it wasn't. I mean, it just the whole setup is cool, and I do really like the scene. And it's, I'm not talking about it as a comic, just as a horror movie.
Right.
When he's going up, when they're lifting
raising
it up to
the
and he's got his arms out, almost like he's God.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I think that's really cool.
Yep.
You know, and
puts those big goggles
Forget the comedy part for a second. That's just a really cool scene,
well,
and
yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah.
That'd have been something I would have loved to have seen in the original Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's up there and lightning striking, electricity's going. He's telling him throw switch one, switch two, mm-hmm. And I like how switch three says the works. Above it. Everything starts blowing. He's got these goggles. He's listening with his stethoscope.
Yep.
As it turns out, eventually he doesn't think he succeeded at first. Once he's brought back down.
Yeah. I mean, he's mad because he's putting a stethoscope. He's not hearing nothing. He's pounding on it.
Right.
And he does say, I understand it didn't work out. Quiet dignity.
Oh, right. He's like, you know,
like
if science teaches us anything, you have to accept your successes and failures with quiet dignity.
But he freaks out and he's screaming. He's going, I'm a failure. This is not
I don't want to live.
I don't want to live. This is terrible.
Mommy.
You know?
And then, yeah, and then he kind of looks at the audience, quiet dignity.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Igor says that. But I love Gene Wilder's overacting in all his movies. I mean, when he does that, just is. I mean, you've seen him in everything.
Seen him in lots of movies.
That's a Woody Allen movie.
Woody Allen, yes.
Everything you ever
I've seen
want to know
just about
sex,
every Woody Allen movie. Except maybe his last three or four most recent ones I haven't seen yet. I have them, I just haven't watched them.
Midnight in Paris
I watched.
Okay.
And, which is really good. Owen Wilson's that.
Right.
That I think after that I just haven't seen his new ones. I have them, I always get them, and I've got copies of them.
I'd say they're worth watching, but yeah, still not.
His
newest one with Joaquin Phoenix looks really riveting and
good.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes, but that looks very good.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, we get to the next scene where the townsfolk.
Town meeting, they don't like the idea that there's a Frankenstein back in their town, and this is where they make mention of the Universal movies. He's like, I remember what happened the last five times, referring
to... Yeah,
because
there's a character out there that's over-emphasizing mm-hmm. everything, like, the Frankenstein he's going to, he's creating
right.
a monster, he's going to do, he's trying to get his point across,
right.
like... Let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
I remember
stuff,
what happened the last five times, referring to Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein,
right.
Son of Frankenstein, Ghost of Frankenstein, and House of Frankenstein.
Oh,
those are the universal, the classic five there.
And this is where Inspector Kemp.
Is that his name?
Yeah, comes
what
in.
What is up with this dude?
He's got a wooden arm, and when they introduce him, he lights a cigar, and he's basically knocking it down to get it to where it needs to go.
I mean, I guess
that.
It's kind of cool, he had to work out a little routine there.
Yeah, and the funny part is before he starts to talk, he puts his monocle up into his eye where
with
it's
his
an eye patch. So he's got an eye patch, and he puts his monocle up there. And he keeps it there the rest of the movie.
Yeah, little things about that.
Stupid little thing.
It's like a German Clouseau wannabe.
Yeah, he's like, Unfeist, du
Spons. Like even the other people
and
don't
even
understand.
Yeah, they don't know what he's saying.
Although most of the time I can understand what he's saying.
Like, give him a chance,
I guess the gag, yeah. So he's going to go up to the house and kind of question them and see, if everything's on the up and up. So that's what he's going to be. And I like how he lights he's got a wooden arm. That's why he kind of does it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how he's, he lights his cigar with his finger.
Because it's wooden,
Right.
Yeah. So then we go to the scene.
He's
going to
go up there, check them out. But meanwhile, at the castle, they're all having dinner.
And they're eating dessert.
Yeah. Gene's upset because he didn't, succeed. And she says something like, you haven't even touched your food. And he's like, fine, I touched my food.
Like a little kid, here I touched
and
it.
He mentions he says, what is this dessert? I don't usually like dessert, but this is great. And,
you like
it? And you hear, which is what we've seen before that in between here is that the little hand of the monster is starting to move now.
And Frederick goes to Igor. So you really like it, huh?
Yeah, you made a yummy,
yummy sound. But then they show
that's cool. Little fingers are moving, and that's cool. That's cool. So they continue to hear that noise. They go down there and sees that this dude's alive. and he's going to let him go.
It's so funny. Yeah, he lets him go.
Let him out.
He's down there and he's looking in his eye. And Peter Boyle makes kind of a different Frankenstein for the...
Yeah.
I think he sets himself out as a good Frankenstein.
Right.
And
I love how he's got a zipper.
Yeah, there's a little zipper on
right
the side
here
of
on
the neck.
His neck.
Just so you can
staples up here. That
you
looks
can conveniently unzip this to get to some of the arteries, maybe. I don't know. But anyways, he gets up and he's moving a little bit because Frederick tells him, you know, let's sit up,
right.
Stand up, and you see Igor just over there on his side getting ready to light a cigarette,
right?
You know, just for no reason.
Right,
he's
that
not
little
encouraged.
Flame just freaks him out.
And it freaks him out, and he grabs Frederick, Gene Wilder, and starts choking him to death. And the scene goes on for a few minutes where, you know, they start doing what? Charades, is it? Or
yeah, this part kind of got on my nerves a bit.
Oh, Ted.
The whole, I mean, who doesn't know to go get the damn sedative and
well, that's the point. And he had to do play charades and tell him three syllables.
If you're being
word,
choked that hard by a guy head. That strong, you're not going to last long enough to,
right,
to do
right.
You know, a
but
sedative,
they finally sedative. Figure it sedative, and Inga goes
right.
And puts it in him.
Right.
And, yeah, I thought that was funny, but hey,
I mean, are you laughing the whole time while he's doing that? And.
No, I'm enjoying the set, the movie. I'm enjoying Gene Wilder. I'm enjoying the characters.
I'm sitting there going, my
and when
God.
these stupid scenes like that come up, yeah, I'm actually laughing a little bit about it. I mean, it's cracking me up. I don't know.
I wish I could be easily amused.
And that's when he does question him about.
But
the
see,
brains
there's things in the movie
stuff.
That I do think is funny, and then there's things like that that's just I don't know how to say it without sounding like an idiot. You know, without sounding like a snot.
No.
You know, it's just, I feel like it's just kind of, you know, below what I don't know. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with silly humor. There's nothing wrong with it.
No, it's just not your cup of tea.
I mean, I sit here and said I like the Three Stooges, and their shtick is, you know, they slap each other.
Right, right.
But that's not always what I think is so much funny. It's, like, my favorite Stooge is Larry. All right? Nobody's favorite Stooge is Larry. And it's because every once in a while... They will give him a line, and it is so funny. I'll give you two examples.
Larry's one of my favorite. Well,
nobody will actually.
I put Larry before Mo.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, most people say Curly or Mo, but Larry. In high school, I had a Larry T-shirt, just Larry's face on it. And
no, Larry.
Two examples, and like there's one called Dizzy Pilots. They're flying a plane,
right?
And Mo and Curly, they're in the back. You know, rolling over each other to fly the plane. Larry just looks at him as they're rolling over on top of each other, and he says, "Hey, you guys go steady." I just love it. I laugh so hard. That one's not even a particularly funny one, but that part makes it one of my favorites. And then there's one where they're like...
He's got great lines, man.
They're doing, like, work in a house, and Mo tells him, "If you do a nice job, I'll give you some candy. And there's Larry. He's like, "I don't smoke." I mean, just, they give him these lines once in a while.
That's just, yeah.
And, you know, or he'll have some physical comedy here and there, too. And that's just why he's my favorite.
Oh, yeah, I like when he always gets hit and he rushes away and stuff like that. I even like Shemp.
Yeah, I love Shemp
is
better
just,
than Curly.
I think
we agree on that.
I like Shemp better than Curly.
Shemp ad-libbed a bit, and Goof on the Roof.
I'm kind of with you. Goof on the Roof,
If you've never seen The Three Stooges with Shemp, Goof on the Roof, it's the funniest one they ever did.
Yeah.
I mean, we've watched it. It's probably on YouTube. Watch it. It's so funny. Just the whole thing is them trying to put a TV together.
Yeah, they're throwing the innards and the insides up. But yeah, it's
and that's another
funny.
Great one with Larry when he knocks the knob into the wall through a hole in the wall, and he's like, and he can't reach the knob. He's like,
so he starts sledgehammering.
He's like, either I need a longer arm or a shorter wall. He's like, shorter wall.
Yeah.
He just starts beating the hell out of the wall.
Oh my God.
I know we're getting away from
no,
this,
no,
but
that's funny,
but
man,
I guess that's my point. You know, when I say I like Three Stooges, it's not even the slapping and the eye gouging that I think is that funny. It's, you know, the wordplay sometimes that I really like, and that's where Laurel and Hardy is gold. Their wordplay with each other,
right?
Not so much the physical comedy,
and
I think that's what I like. I like it a little bit witty. You know, I love W.C. Fields, and I just love the stuff he mumbles under his breath sometimes if you're listening.
Yeah, the subtle,
You know, Marx Brothers. All right, I forgot to add Marx Brothers.
Oh, my God.
No, I mean, imagine their parents living in the house with those guys. I mean, just the banter back and
forth. Let me tell you
something.
Marx Brothers movies are some of my favorite movies of all time.
Right.
And those are... I have to watch every single one of their movies at least once a year.
Yep.
At least. Marx Brothers are just, it's just everything. They don't even have to say anything,
mm-hmm.
although everything Groucho says is just hilarious.
Right.
And Igor in here makes, does a Groucho Marx impression mm-hmm. when he has a scene in here too, right. which is kind of funny. But,
so, I mean, that's what I think. And then you could throw Monty Python in there too. It's the wordplay that I think is funny. I like listening for those witty little, you know, things yeah. coming up. That's really what I think is funny. Or, you know, like I said, you've got Chaplin, you've got, you know, if you like physical comedy, you've got Chaplin, you've got right. Keaton. But when it comes to, you know... When
physical comedy, did you say Chevy Chase?
No, I said
oh Mr. my Keaton God. And Charlie no, Chaplin. No, I know, I'm joking. Because he was known for his comp. Yeah, we won't talk about Chevy Chase. Oh my God.
I don't even like the Vacation movies.
But anyway,
so. I know. And so, I mean, I don't mean to, you know, talk badly about a film that a lot of people think is really funny when I come out here and say I love Three Stooges. I'm trying to explain what it is I like about the Three Stooges more than right. just slapping around. Anybody can do that. That was their little shtick. But they actually had some creative little wordplay in there sometimes too, and that's usually where I laugh. It's not the hitting, you know, or the that's not what gets me funny, you know, or gets me laughing.
It's the way they act. It's the wordplay. Their wordplay mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I always like how they're about 2 feet shorter than every other adult in the episode. I always like that about them. So we're way off on the movie now. So the inspector goes to the house.
Right.
And there is kind of a funny scene where they're...
Questions him. They're playing darts.
Where they're playing darts. And, you know, Gene Wilder's getting some good hits.
Oh, yeah.
And then the detective, you know, he totally cheats. You know, Gene Wilder's got his back to the wall or whatever. And he takes them all and shoves them right in the bullseye.
And he's
like,
got that...
He's got him in his arm, like the wood.
Right. Arm. And he can make the sound that it like they're hit. And he goes...
Yeah, that's
you know, with his arm. So, and Gene Wilder hurry up and turns his head.
It's like amazing grouping.
Yeah, and then so he questioned him enough, and he feels okay about it and leaves.
Right.
But then what ends up happening is that Blücher comes down and feels sorry for him and
right.
unleashes him, and that's you know he gets loose.
Gets loose.
Goes to the town and the great. Transylvania town, you know, little, right. just like in the old movie.
Right.
It's like it's straight out from the old movie.
Right.
Their language, the talking, the nice. Set.
And I love how it's all dark and mist, and yeah. you know, it's cool.
And the little girl's there.
Which is a little shout out to the original Frankenstein.
Yeah.
The little girl by the lake.
By the whale.
By the pond. Oh,
she's at a whale throwing this one's leaves a well. In there.
Yeah, and
they get on a little well, her parents, because it's all known that the monster is loose.
They're boarding up the house.
Yeah, and they go, well, where's our daughter? Where's our daughter?
Yeah, didn't you see her upstairs? They don't know where their kid is.
So she's on a little, what is that, the
teeter-totter, seesaw?
Yeah, so she says, get on! And she's being mean to him, too. Yeah,
get on! Sit down!
So he sits down, and it launches her way up into the window, into her bed, and they're like...
She just says, hell with it, I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, so because she's sleeping, and, you know...
They get up there, oh, she's here.
That's probably Mel Brooks going, act like you're sleeping.
Right.
We'll just play it off like that, you know.
It is kind of cool, just the...
Whereas she'd probably break your neck, you know.
Right.
Catapulting from that distance,
mm-hmm.
and, you know. But
and then the next scene,
if it was a real horror movie, that's where they would have played it off at.
Yeah.
You know? Oh my God, our neck's broken. What do we do? You know,
nothing. Our neck's broken.
Blood. But, yeah.
And then the next is a little shout out to Bride of Frankenstein, the scene where he stumbles across a cabin in the woods, and there's a little old blind
guy.
And I like.
And who is that?
That's Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman. I couldn't remember his name. I'm going. John Lithgow. Michael Caine. And that's who. I'm like, who the heck is that?
Come on, man. French Connection, Gene Hackman.
No, right? Yeah, yeah.
This is around that time, so I did think it was funny when he's kneeling before his bed and he's praying for just a friend, someone to talk to, someone to spend a few hours with and talk. And bam, the door opens and God!
Oh, I'm blind, but you're a mute. Come. And he sits, you know, and it's
this part is kind of funny. I did laugh at this part.
And Frankenstein's just sitting there, I mean, just going along with it, too. Mm-hmm, which is kind of funny.
Sit down, you must be hungry, let's have some soup.
He
can't see, he's pouring the hot soup
right on his groin, and he's going,
and he does it twice. Scoops.
Then he does pour him a big mug of wine, and Frankenstein's all happy he's going to get it, you know.
Right.
He clashes into it, breaks it, you know. So he's just like, nothing's going right for me, you know, right? Just the look in Frankenstein's face.
And then, you know, I've been saving, and then the cigars, they go to have a cigar. And that's even in the original
part of Frankenstein. The guy's like,
you know, smoke, good
but
smoke.
But he lights his thumb.
He's like, yeah, you know, hold it just right there, and he takes the candle or whatever.
And he freaks out because it's burning his thumb.
And Frankenstein's monster just freaks out. hell with this.
He's running out the door, bashing it down.
And then it is funny because he comes out, Gene Hackman's character, because I was like, wait, I was going to make espressos.
so he doesn't get what's going on.
Yeah, no idea that he did all this to him. So,
yeah.
So that part's kind of funny. And then
I'm glad you laughed a little.
I did laugh at it. The silly humor doesn't get me as much. But, right. You know, that was slapsticky funny. And, you know, I can't lie and say I didn't laugh at that. So Gene Wilder, he's in a disguise, but he's playing some violin music, because we know the monster likes music.
Yeah.
Music soothes the savage beast, so they're playing some music in the town.
Seemed like a little Sherlock Holmes throwback there. Yeah. He's all in disguise. With the violin going.
And sure enough, the monster does creep into town, and they throw a net on him. They get him down to the ground. And for some reason, you know, they don't have a problem with the sedative this time. Inga gets him, like, right in the shoulder blade, which I work in the medical field. You don't give injections there. You're going to snap the needle. Right. So,
the bones.
I don't know how that medicine really worked.
I don't know.
I don't even know what it was.
But anyways, they got him in there. They get him back to the laboratory. And they do get him and put him in a room all chained up.
Locked up.
This is a funny part, though, for me, where he tells them, he goes, I'm going in there. Don't let me out, no matter what I say.
Right.
You know, and he's...
Jesus Christ, open the door!
Please, God, forsaken this little bit of you! Just what he says is just so funny. Yeah. He's calling,
that's classic
calling him dirty names and hollering. He's saying, what's wrong with you? But then he realizes they're not going to let him out, so he goes back and he's talking all nice to him like a little baby.
Yeah,
like,
tell me he's a good boy, and he can't help it, and, you know... That is a nice thing. Classic Gene. Classic Gene in that scene.
And this is where he kind of settles the savage beast.
Right.
You know? And one of the classic parts in the movie is where, you know, they're in the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You don't like
this
it.
This part,
anyways.
Oh, I gritted my teeth the whole time.
But he's going to introduce the monster to the...
To the public.
Yeah, and all the scientists.
Kind of take away the fears and, you know, and explain what he's done.
Yeah, so
sounds
they
good on
introduce
the surface.
Him. It was funny to me, not to Ted. So they open the curtains and, you know, Frankenstein starts, and he's gone with his name now. He's embraced Frankenstein as his name.
Right, yeah, big point.
But he's basically tells the monster to, because everybody gasps when they see him, and he's in a big white gown, and he says, step forward.
I
know
this isn't just some guy, though.
Exactly, kind of. I mean, I don't know. But anyways, he steps forward, you know, they're like, whoa, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I'd like to introduce you to the more, like, sophisticated person or whatever. He turns off the lights, and the lights come back up, and the Frankenstein's in a tux.
With a cane and top hat.
And they're, starts dancing to Putting on a Ritz. He's got a whole dance routine going on. And he goes, pull on Ritz, and it's, oh my god,
gave me the gun in mouth loose.
Oh, Ted, you're killing me, man.
I thought was funny, that just wasn't.
I know. I thought that was hilarious. And when the light blows out and stuff like that, Gene Wilder gets up and, like, tries to keep it going.
Right.
He's, like, dancing.
Come on, go with me. That part was a little funny.
That was funny. And but everybody freaks out, and the monster takes off. And
right, everyone's
they
running
They basically
out.
Catch him, and they go and chain him up into
right,
a little
the townsfolk
prison.
Catch him.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they chain him up hardcore, like, you know, chains all coming. He's got a neck collar on, and
Police
chains going all down.
And all that.
And Inga decides she's going to comfort Dr. Frankenstein, you know, she's kissing his fingers and
because you're
putting her hand on, putting his hand on her boob, and I wish there was something I could do to comfort you. And well, you know, if I had been there, I could have thought of something.
Oh yeah,
which evidently Gene thought of too, because I do think that's funny when they're up on the
board
that goes up the
platform that goes way up to the top for the electricity,
and
that's where they're actually, you know, having their
moment.
Yeah,
and when they come down, you know, Gene's got his smoke, and you know. Everyone's got to smoke after they do this.
The file broker says, your fiance's here.
Or she comes in with a telegram. She disturbs him.
Yeah.
And says, you know, I thought this was important. You know,
Yeah, because he says, never disturb. I told you never to disturb me, but I'm working. And he's laying there under the blankets with Inga, you know.
Having a cuddle.
Oh, and, it's funny.
You know, your fiance will be here any second. and, you know, they have enough time to get dressed, and she fixes her hair. She looks really, Terry Garr looks really pretty here in this scene,
she
too.
She is, yeah.
Very foxy. But the carriage pulls up, and there's Madeline Kahn with her turban on, and evidently Igor thinks she's just the bee's knees.
Oh yeah, he's like hitting on her in every way possible. It's funny.
Or he says something like, I did laugh at this part when Gene Wilder says, you know, can, all right, get the bags, and he's like, all right, you take the blonde, I'll take the one in the turban.
He says it in a Groucho voice,
right?
Groucho Marx voice,
right? That's you know. Yeah, that's something that you would hear the Marx brothers say.
Yeah.
And, I meant the luggage. Mm. So, yeah, he and Dr. Frankenstein and Connor are talking about, you know, getting married. You know, he was kind of hoping to get a little busy, you know, a twofer in one day.
Yeah, but she told her no.
Gotta get married first.
She goes, no, don't. And he pushes his face into her breast
anyways.
Yeah,
I don't get that, man. Why buy the milk when the cow is free?
Well, that's why he ends up, you know.
Did I say that backwards? Yeah.
Something like that.
But I like it better that
anyways.
Way.
But what happens after that, anyways, is the Frankenstein monster comes back to the castle and ends up getting Madeline Kahn and takes her away.
Yeah, he breaks loose. He breaks loose, rips those chains off, busts out of the jail they've got him in.
And he takes her to some cave, and she's got stripes on her hair. I don't know.
Well, just from the fear, I think. Like Bride of Frankenstein, kind of white stripes.
Yeah, you know.
Her hair's not up in that Marge Simpson thing.
Not yet, but right. But yeah, at this point, it's just...
And that's like in the original story, too. Like, you know, Frankenstein did take, you know,
kind
of kidnap his bride.
Right.
And on their wedding night.
And he's just going to, like, molest her. He's taking his stone, he drops his thing, and she goes, oh,
right,
wow.
So evidently he's in debt with a... good Schwanzenstucker.
She, as he jumps on top of her and stuff, she starts going singing. And then singing,
all the hills are alive with the sound of music. Whatever, she's singing something else.
And
and she's hooked on him.
Yeah,
she's hooked on a feeling. So the townsfolk, they're all looking for Frankenstein. I do think the one funny part is you just see an old guy like bang right into a tree. I don't know why. And then, they're having a smoke after the post-coital smoke.
Right.
And her, you do see the white stripes in her hair, like you were saying.
Frankenstein tries to lure him back
to the castle with the music, which always seems to work, no matter how many miles away he is.
Because what he wants to do is, like, give him some of his brain.
Right, they want to do like a essence transfer, because he's got this brain that's defective, he can't communicate, he can't do anything, so maybe if I give him a little bit of myself, you know, he'll be able to be more than what he is.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So that's why they're luring him back, and they're laying there, and they're doing the transfer, and the townsfolk bust in, and they kind of, you know, smash all the equipment, like, right when the experiment's just about
3 seconds before it's done.
Right. So, but, I mean, it doesn't seem like there was any real ill effect.
No, because he goes, leave him alone.
Right, they're about to take Dr. Frankenstein away. They're going to carry his butt out. And, put that man down. The creature saying, actually, I do think that the part where he gets up and talks to the townsfolk is actually kind of touching, you know, like from the monster's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, again, talking from like a horror movie perspective.
Yeah, because he tells him what he did for him, you know. He brought me to life, which, you know... Actually, wasn't that long, and he made it seem like, you know, a long time ago. But
I thought that was actually a very touching scene. There's nothing funny about it, and
the police officer guy says, "Well, this makes this a whole different thing then." And,
let me be the first to shake your hand, offer you my hand.
Yeah,
and so that's okay, and it doesn't seem like Gene Wilder suffered too much from the busting up of the experiment.
Yeah, because they later on show that. Basically, the monster's accepted, and he's with Madeline Kahn.
Right, and together. She's got her hair,
Totally like the Marge Simpson, Bride of Frankenstein, just
total
whipped back.
And I do like the, you know, he's laying in bed,
glasses on,
reading
his robe.
The Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, because he's very smart now and sophisticated.
Yep, and she's just flapping her yap at him like women do.
And they're going scene to scene between them. And Terry Garr and
Gene Wilder, Inga, and Dr. Frankenstein, who got married as well.
Right. And, she's going towards the end there, like, what do you, He got your intellect and all that. What did you get from it?
Right.
And the movie ends with it.
They're starting to
close up of his face, and you go.
You kind of. And it's the Schwanzenstuecker, yeah. And then you hear her singing.
Yep.
Man. The Schwanzenstuecker's.
Yeah, and that basically ends.
I do like when she says about the hampers, because that's what she's yapping at about hampers. I've got a hamper in here for your shirts. The other ones are for socks and you know, poopy underwears.
Yes. Why she would say that is just beyond me. So, poopy underwear.
And that's pretty much, that takes us to the end of the flick. So, yeah. I mean, overall, you know, a lot of the classic Mel Brooks stuff that people think is funny, I don't think is funny. Right. There were plenty of parts in this movie where I chuckled. There's stuff that I appreciated, and a lot of the technical aspects of the movie and the score I did really like. You know, so there's plenty that I liked about the movie. I didn't waste my time. It's one of your favorite movies.
I hope not.
Not necessarily one of mine, but that's like why I said we like to do this. You know, every once in a while, and there's been a couple instances where it's a movie that he really likes and I don't, or you know, I really loved Reanimator and he didn't dig it as much. That's partly why we do this. I mean, it's not as fun if people just totally, you know, dig on the movie. It's fun to have a little back and forth. So.
Yeah, and I understand that you know, everybody's got their own likes and dislikes, you know. I mean, you know, like I said, Gene Wilder, he can play anything, man. I just, you know, can sit back and relax and... He's just one of those characters.
Right. You know, I know you dig this movie. And you said The Burbs is one of your, you know, movies you go back to. And, you know, on my little iPad at home, I have about 12 movies that I can watch at any time, no matter what mood
I'm
in.
Same here. That's me.
You know, and none of them are horror movies. But, you know.
They're called your comfort movies. That's something you put in and you just... You feel relaxed, and this is great, you know. It relaxes you, gets you mellowed out, whether it's a memory or whatever.
Yeah,
makes just, you feel good,
You know, there's a lot of movies I love. There's a handful that I can watch any day of the week, doesn't matter, you know, so.
Yeah,
you know, that's, you know, we all differ like that, so. Cool, I think we've got, for you next week, we've got Psycho, the original Alfred Hitchcock classic, planned for next week. Which I'm going to try to tie into some of the actual...
Ed Gein,
the serial killer that the book was based on, that then the movie was based on.
Yeah, I'll be more anxious to talk about Ed Gein than,
you know, we'll throw in little tidbits in there. And, you know, kind of like the first American slasher movie, you know, the one that kind of started it all, classic. If you haven't seen it, shame on you. Go get it. I'm sure it's on Netflix.
If you're watching Bates Motel and you haven't seen Psycho...
Oh!
Come on.
And actually, you know, there's a couple of sequels to Psycho, and actually, I even remember, like, the second movie wasn't that bad. I don't remember, like, after that so
Bates Motel, that's a pretty good show. It's not bad. Did you even watch any episodes? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, yeah. It's a pretty good show.
I don't watch it.
Anyways. Okay, so yeah, we'll end it there. Make sure you like us and subscribe on YouTube, on iTunes. Give us a search, the Little Monsters Movie Podcast.
Right.
And give a little shout out. We were on with the horror movie review guy and Death Twitch. So check them out. We did a little
conversation.
Little conversation going on with them. So
chit chatting about different things we're into. And
yeah, so
that was nice. Those are cool guys.
Yeah, yeah. So other than that, man, we'll talk to you next time.
That's right.
And you guys take care, man.
See you, group.